This morning on WCHL, Chapel Hill has had four shootings so far this year. How does that stack up to the first half of 2013?
I don't know that there have been any great changes in how we're patrolling.
One number that is still on the rise is rabies in Orange County.
Bats are going to be more active in the summer months.
And whatever happened to Occupy Chapel Hill? These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, Chapel Hill High School welcomes its new boys basketball coach, who brings with him 28 years of experience and a very famous name. Plus, P.J. Harrison is once again a Tar Heel, but this time in the pros. And
P.J. Histon took the long and winding road back to North Carolina.
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL, 68 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for mostly cloudy skies today. 20% chance of rain this morning, but a bigger chance of rain in the afternoon. Maybe a shower, maybe a thunderstorm. High today about 88 degrees. A warm weekend coming up. While it may seem as though shootings here in Chapel Hill this year have been more frequent, Chapel Hill Police Public Information Lieutenant Josh Misamore says that these numbers are actually no worse than last year.
I don't know that there have been any great changes in how we're patrolling, but I would suspect that they're probably along those same lines, 3 or 4 in a half-year period.
However, Lieutenant Misamore says that the severity of the shootings has been greater. Aside from the homicide that took place on Christopher Road on May 30th, Lieutenant Misamore recalls the other 3 shootings that have taken place this year.
There was one on West Rosemary Street and the 300 block, one on East Franklin Street and the 100 block, which was this past week, and then a robbery on Cotton Street where a gun was fired. I think only in one of the other ones this year that someone was actually hit, but in the other two, a gun was discharged either during an argument or in the one case during a robbery.
So far this calendar year, there have been 4 shootings. At this time last year, there were also 4. Orange County Animal Services is reporting the 15th positive test for rabies in our county so far this year. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
The latest reported case of rabies in Orange County comes from Hillsboro, where a resident noticed that her 2 dogs were hovering over a certain spot in her backyard this past Monday. The subject of their interest turned out to be a bat. She brought the dogs inside the house and called animal services to have the bat removed. The bat was tested at North Carolina State Laboratory of Public Health and came up positive for rabies. Here's Orange County Animal Services Director Bob Morato.
It's the second rabies case we've had this year that does involve a bat. And bats are going to be more active in the summer months. And we know from our past experience, not only here in Orange County, but in North Carolina at large, that the number of potential rabies exposures involving bats climbs during the summer months.
11 of the other reported cases in Orange County involved raccoons, and the remaining 2 were a fox and a skunk, according to Morato. Reported cases of rabies have gone up since last year, when the total number was 12, the same as the year before. Fortunately, the 2 Hillsboro dogs that came in possible contact with the most recently reported rabid bat were up to date on their rabies vaccinations and only required booster shots within 5 days of the incident. Otherwise, the risk of rabies exposure would have made it legally mandatory for the dogs to either be destroyed or quarantined for 6 months.
For people, we want to be mindful that bats may be beneficial to our environment as insectivores and for other reasons, but they are rabies carriers, and if we have contact with a bat, we want to be absolutely positive to get medical care.
Morato adds that people who have come into contact with a bat may not even realize at first that they've been bitten because bat bites are so tiny. If you have any questions or suspected rabies cases to report, you can call Orange County Animal Services at 919-942-7387. A rabies vaccination clinic will take place from 9 a.m. until noon on Saturday at Piedmont Feed Center, located at 4805 NC Highway 54 West in Chapel Hill. The cost for vaccinations is $10. Cash only. A link to the full clinic schedule is available in this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
You might think it flamed out a few years ago, but make no mistake, Occupy Chapel Hill is still active. Supporters in the movement held a general assembly on Thursday evening at 6:30 in front of the old post office downtown on Franklin Street, and regular events are ongoing in Chapel Hill. Jeff Gilson, a longtime supporter of Occupy Chapel Hill, describes himself as a worker and an advocate at Weaver Street Market, as well as being an aspiring pop star. He's also a blogger who posts regularly on orangepolitics.org. Gilson says the movement has changed quite a bit over the last 3 years, becoming more fragmented as it became clear that it's impossible to get the 99% to agree on very much.
Occupy Chapel Hill did peter out. Across the country, Occupy had its moments of fury and encampments and people wanting to bring about immediate change, and that kind of petered out much as the winter of 2011 took over. Here in Chapel Hill, we sort of moved into Occupy Chapel Hill 2.0. And that has continued in two forms. There's a group called Occupy Health and Wellness, who hold regular meetings, and a group called Solidarity Economy, who wanted to map all of the sustainable economic entities in the area.
Gilson says one thing that all the different groups associated in some way with Occupy Chapel Hill can agree on is that, quoting here, impersonal corporate capitalism has failed us, unquote, and that more community-based economic and social agendas are more desirable. He suggests that instead of trying to exist as a solidified movement, Occupy Chapel Hill should become more of a clearinghouse for sharing ideas and support.
The idea I put forward is, why don't we do our own thing in our own group, where other people aren't trying to take over the agenda, and then meet on an irregular basis and use Occupy Chapel Hill as a clearinghouse for information, communication, and if we find common cause in something, then pursue that.
Occupy Chapel Hill activities continue today with a regular vigil for peace and justice with the Society of Friends in the corner of Elliott Road and East Franklin Street beginning at 4:30. That's not far from Whole Foods. To view a full calendar of Occupy Chapel Hill events, you can visit OccupyChapelHill.org. State officials are ordering Duke Energy to address piping systems in dams at 6 coal ash impoundments across North Carolina. The North Carolina Division of Energy, Mineral, and Land Resources yesterday issued 4 notices for leaks and other structural concerns. Problems were discovered at the utility's power plants in Chatham, Person, and Rockingham counties. Duke Energy was ordered to provide a schedule for repairing the piping systems within 30 days. The state also told Duke Energy to provide engineering assessments for piping systems and impoundment dams where inspectors noticed smaller leaks or concerns. The letters target the Chatham, Stokes, and Person facilities, as well as Wayne County. Division Director Tracy Davis says none of the leaks or other concerns poses an imminent threat to the structural integrity of those dams. Duke Energy plans to charge residential customers more in order to establish new renewable energy sources such as solar panels across the state. Spokesperson for Duke Energy, Lisa Parrish, explains the changes and how much more customers may be paying.
Right now, the average residential customer for Duke Energy Carolina is using about 1,000 kilowatt hours of electricity, pays about 4 cents a month to comply with the new renewable energy portfolio standards. The new rider asked them to pay 39 cents, so that's an increase of 35 cents. Duke Energy Progress customers using 1,000 kilowatt hours, they're currently paying 20 cents, and that changes to 83 cents.
She says that these new changes, or new charges rather, must be made in order to comply with new North Carolina laws that dictate energy costs and where they must be placed for customers.
Think about it like this. You divide the pie, the renewable energy pie, into 3 pieces. The size of those pieces are dictated by the North Carolina energy law. So more than half the pie, about 59%, is paid for by residential customers, 36% is paid for by commercial customers, and about 5% is paid for by industrial customers. Each of these slices is in proportion to the cost caps set by the North Carolina energy law. The legislation tells us what we can charge these customer classes and tells us they must be in proportion to the cost.
Duke Energy is still awaiting permission from the Utilities Commission. These new charges are set to go into effect in December of this year. North Carolina lawmakers have given preliminary approval to legislation that would prevent prisoners from using cell phones and make it easier for state crime laboratory workers to testify. The state House approved legislation yesterday that makes several changes to criminal justice laws, particularly by raising several penalties. The bill would increase the punishment for smuggling a cell phone to a prisoner and makes it a crime for a prisoner to possess one. Now, prisoners are only subject to administrative penalties. The changes are in response to the kidnapping of the father of an assistant Wake County County prosecutor. Authorities say the crime was initiated by an imprisoned gang member. The measure also allows forensic analysts to testify remotely by video. Supporters say that will give lab workers more time to solve crimes. WCHL News Time, 7:16. Time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you by Cruiser Venus Marketplace.
Thank you very much, Ron. Still seeing some slowdowns on 15501 northbound and southbound between the Ephesus Church Road area and I-40, maybe up to Garrett Road as well. Those slowdowns have smoothed out just a little bit, though, so you might see them sporadically, but really nothing major there. NC-54 heading eastbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, also seeing some minor to moderate delays, but nothing major on the roadways right now. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh brewed coffee fast, doing it around the clock. It's guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up at Cruiser's. Good to go. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather presented this morning by Crown Honda of South Point. It is 71 degrees in Chapel Hill, already warming up a little bit. Mostly cloudy today, 20% chance of showers this morning, then scattered thunderstorms with a 40% chance of showers in the afternoon. Our high today in the upper 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Overnight low 70, still 40% chance of rain. And then on Saturday, cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain, maybe a storm. High tomorrow about 85. Tomorrow night, cloudy, 50-50 chance of rain with a low in the upper 60s. And then on Sunday, mostly cloudy with just a slight chance of a shower and or a thunderstorm, mainly in the afternoon, with a high on Sunday in the middle 80s. So kind of a moderate weekend as far as what we've had lately concerning the temperature. It's going to be rather warm, but a lot of moisture in the air too, which might make it a little bit muggy.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
Time now for news around town. We talked about the Orange County Animal Services Department just a few moments ago with our cases of rabies. And they're offering another low-cost rabies vaccination clinic this month. It happens tomorrow. The clinic will be tomorrow from 9 until noon at the Piedmont Feed Center. For $10, cash only, you can have your animals vaccinated for a year. Bring dogs in a leash or cats in individual carriers. If you'd like to find out more, visit orangecountync.gov/animalservices. Piedmont Feed Center is located at 4805 West 54, just beyond Orange Grove Road, west of Carborough. So take a nice drive out Highway 54 and go there and be a part of that. Very important. Earlier this month, the Owosso Board adopted its budget for the next fiscal year. And good news for Owosso customers, for the third consecutive year, there will not be an increase in monthly rates. Owosso estimates a typical single family will have a monthly bill of about $70 for 4,000 gallons of water and sewer service. For a summary of rates and more information about next year's budget, visit owasa.org, owasa.org. And head to the Arts Center on Saturday from 1 to 4 in the afternoon for the Summertime and the Reading is Easy Book Fair. Author John Claude Bemis will host the event tomorrow. Several other local authors will be there to read excerpts from their books. There will also be music, poetry, kids' activities, a chance to produce your own creative writing with the help of poet Pam Taylor, and 10% of book sales at the fair will go to benefit the Arts Center's programs. That's a quick look at news around town. You can check out all our other news around town stories on our website at chapelboro.com. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, and we're going to get to P.J. Hairston in just a moment. But first, let's talk a little high school basketball. Chapel Hill High School boys basketball team is introducing a new head coach in the form of Bill Walton. No, he's not the legendary player from UCLA and the NBA and the guy who's on TV a lot. But this Walton is a 28-year veteran of the game. WCHL's Matt Oakes had the chance to sit down with Coach Bill Walton yesterday and has more on the story.
I reached out to his folks and I said, it's Coach Bill Walton. She was like, really? Coach Bill Walton? I said, really? She said, wow. She said, I don't know about him going over there now. I was like, what are you talking about, ma'am? She's like, I didn't realize Coach Bill Walton was there at Grimsley High School. I said, ma'am, I'm not the 7-footer. I've got a tan.
That was freshly minted Chapel Hill High head basketball coach Bill Walton. But all jokes aside, this Coach Walton is a Virginia boy who grew up in Roanoke and later attended James Madison University. It didn't take long for Walton to make his way down to North Carolina. He took a job as assistant coach at Greensboro Grimsley in 1989. In 1992, Walton says a firestorm broke out involving the head coach and a black student in a PE class. But Walton is proud of how the team responded from the incident.
He was accused of choking and assaulting a kid in his class, in his PE class. Robin happened to be white, kid happened to be black, and you can only imagine, like in a city like this, in a city like Greensboro, all the complexities of that case. And anyway, it was a trying time for everybody. At any rate, we endured it. I got the team together, got the community together, had a terrific season.
That was how Walton first assumed a head coaching position. He stayed at Grimsley until 2002, spent a few years at Southwest Guilford, and then wound up at Reidsville High, located in the hometown of his wife, where he went 145-72, including a 26-4 season and a run to the NCHSAA 2A East Region Finals in 2012. For health reasons, citing tension headaches, Coach Walton says he was advised to step aside by the Reidsville principal. He reluctantly obliged, but says he is not taking any medications for the headaches.
When you've been around as long as I have, you just stick with it. It's one of those things you don't tell your kids that. You start what you finish. You finish what you start, in other words. And I thought about it. I talked about it over my family and stuff, and I said, okay. I didn't want to be a distraction to the kids. So reluctantly, I stepped aside.
Coach Walton says the Chapel Hill job was at the top of his prospect list due to the attractive community and the plethora of basketball camps and facilities located in the region known nationwide for its high-level basketball. Former Chapel Hill High head coach Layson Perkins was surprisingly let go from his interim position. It was an unpopular decision by many players and assistant coaches. Coach Walton says he understands the situation, empathizes with Coach Perkins and his staff, but is ready to do his job.
Sure, it's frustrating. Do I understand? Yes. Have no idea what happened with the process. There was an opening, as we just described. I applied, interviewed. I was off the job, fellas.
In addition, Coach Walton says he's been reaching out to members of the previous staff to forge friendly relationships. When asked about the added pressures and expectations of the Chapel Hill job, Coach Walton says he relishes the opportunity ahead and thrives in those situations. In fact, he says he expects a breakout season next year.
Looking at the roster and the people coming back, I'm looking forward to a really good year. Perhaps maybe the best year they've had here in 5 or 6 years.
And for Tar Heel fans, there's another perk to having Coach Walton in town stalking the sidelines for the Tigers. He says he plays Carolina-style basketball.
We're a lot like Carolina. Everything we do is Carolina. We run Carolina fast break, number fast break. We try to diagonally kick the ball up just like you see them do. We do that very well. That's something we did very well in all the schools I've been at. We run that Carolina secondary break, both phases of it. And we still just call it Carolina. We're going to the floor and we're running Carolina.
Looks like Coach Walton has come to the right place. If he ever needs any advice on running the Carolina, UNC head coach Roy Williams will be just down the street. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And I'm sure that Roy will be willing to help him all he can as well. So congratulations to the new head coach there at Chapel Hill High School, Bill Walton. Eastern Conference champion Miami Heat selected former University of North Carolina guard P.J. Hairston with the 26th pick in the first round of the 2014 NBA draft last night. The Heat reportedly then traded Hairston in a multiplayer deal to the Charlotte Hornets, pending official NBA approval. Hairston scored 707 points in 71 games for the Tar Heels in 2011, 2012, and 2012-13. He played last season for the Texas Legends in the NBA Development League. Had a heck of a season, establishing himself as one of the best players in that league, and also had a couple of 40-point games in the first week he was there. As a sophomore at Carolina, Hairston led the Tar Heels in scoring at 14.6 points per game and made 89 three-pointers, the second-highest single-season figure in UNC history. In two college seasons, Hairston's averaged 10 points, shot 34.9% in three-point range, and 80% at the free-throw line. Well, you could have used that this past season. The Greensboro native scored a career-high 29 points against Virginia in 2013 and 28 against Miami in the 2013 ACC Championship game, making a career-best 6 three-pointers in each of those games. Hairston's the 15th Tar Heel to play for head coach Roy Williams and be selected in the first round of the NBA draft. Overall, he's a 46th first-round pick from Carolina and the 107th Tar Heel taken in any round in NBA draft history. If you watched any of the NBA draft last night, you know that P.J. Hairston was watching the proceedings on ESPN in Greensboro with a bunch of friends and supporters and got quite emotional when he was picked. 26th pick overall, P.J. Hairston will not go to the Miami Heat. Reportedly traded to the Charlotte Hornets. Wonder how hard Michael Jordan worked to make that happen. But the Hornets need some scoring, and P.J. Hairston can definitely provide that. So looks like a good move for him, and it will be unusual given the situation with what happened with him in Chapel Hill about how he will be accepted and viewed in the North Carolina community when he plays for Charlotte. 726 at WCHL, and more on that coming up from Art.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
P.J. Hairston took the long and winding road back to North Carolina. This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. How about how things turned out for suspended Tar Heel P.J. Hairston, who was the 26th pick in the NBA draft Thursday night by the Miami Heat, and then traded to Charlotte, where he will get a chance to finish the story he started in Chapel Hill. Roy Williams said he was ecstatic that life has given P.J. another chance, and that chance will come in his college and home state and playing for former Tar Heel icon Michael Jordan. Hairston became the first player ever drafted in the first round from the NBA Developmental League, where he wound up after his off-court transgressions cost him what would have been his junior year at Carolina. Now the story that gripped Tar Heel basketball for most of last season has the chance for a happy ending. We get to see Hairston play for the newly renamed Hornets, and he gets to play less than 100 miles from his hometown in Greensboro. As a first-round pick, Hairston goes from a hardscrabble life to instant millionaire. But now he must prove he is capable of making the right decisions on and off the court so that rookie contract turns into lifetime security through a long stay in the NBA. That P.J. will be playing in his home state means some of the bad influences that derailed his college career will still be hovering around him. So he has to take this second chance and run with it down the straight and narrow. As a player, Hairston is a prototype pro, great outside scorer with NBA range and a shooter's mentality. He has a pro body and a toughness that should make his next step easier than most rookies. More unheralded than the other Tar Heels who have been drafted in four of the previous 5 years, Hairston has a better opportunity and more upside than most of his fellow first-rounders because of the hunger and determination he has to go along with that ability. After UNC chose not to seek his reinstatement from the NCAA, Hairston left town quickly and began looking ahead, not behind. He joined the Texas Legends of the D-League and quickly proved he was the best NBA prospect among the dozens of players trying to get up to or back to the big show. His no-nonsense approach made it seem like he had little remorse for his actions in college, but I read it as the steely focus of a kid who knew he had to move on to get another chance. A poster child for all the troubles the Carolina Athletic Department has had, he can now paint a much prettier picture for himself and his legacy. He doesn't have to be warm and fuzzy or even friendly about it. He just has to go out there and do it. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Imagine a life free from cigarettes. Would you have more energy, more money, more breath? Renee can.
I really have a lot more freedom now without being chained to the cigarette.
It takes practice to become tobacco-free. At UNC Family Medicine, our tobacco treatment specialists coach you through the process. People like Renee who utilize our nicotine dependence program know how powerful support can be. Join the team by calling 966-0210 or visit uncfamilymedicine.org.
You gotta get an Accord at Crown Honda South Point. Consumer Magazine has named the Accord the most impressive midsize of its class, and right now you can drive one for just $199 a month. Experience a new level of luxury today. Why settle for less? You gotta get an Accord at Crown Honda South Point on South Point Auto Park Boulevard and online at southpointhonda.com. Based on the 2014 Honda Accord Sedan LX Automatic, $199 per month, 36-month lease, 12,000 miles per year, $24.99 down payment to its signing. Excludes tax, title, and dealer fees. For well-qualified lessees, see dealer for details.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Carolina Air Conditioning Company. It's 72% off a $140 summer air conditioning checkup available today for only $39. Summer is really here, and your AC has been running for months. Cool it off and check it out with today's Our Local Deal. Carolina Air Conditioning has been in the HVAC business since 1947. Their certified specialists will provide you with a 5-star, 26-point heating and cooling checkup. It's 72% off from Carolina Air Conditioning Company, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
7:30 at WCHL, already warming up, 72 degrees. It's going to be a hot day, mostly cloudy, 20% chance for showers this morning, and then a bigger chance of rain in the afternoon, maybe showers, maybe thunderstorms, or a high today about 88 degrees. Now, tonight, mostly cloudy, with still a 40% chance of rain with the overnight low 70, about like usual. And then on Saturday, cloudy, 50-50 chance of rain. High tomorrow, about 85 degrees.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett. The plan to give moderate rebels in Syria a $500 million worth of assistance. It's proposed by the White House with hopes that Congress will approve it. The take on this from Jeff McCausland, a retired Army colonel and a CBS News military consultant. He's worried about which group could get the aid.
There's no real political oversight for the Free Syrian Army that's been terribly effective. So that lack of unity has caused many people to be concerned that weapons or training might actually flow to those groups like the al-Nusra Front or, frankly, ISIS, who are confronted in Iraq, and we could see this weapons and training actually be turned on us.
Military consultant Mike Lyons, a retired Army major, says the president could have offered this assistance when the Syrian civil war began.
If he had decided this perhaps 2 years ago and had a better handle on who exactly to give these weapons to, I think that might have been a better decision.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732 at WCHL. We have 73 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today of about 88 degrees. Slight chance of rain. It might seem as though shootings in Chapel Hill this year have been more frequent. Chapel Hill Public Information Lieutenant for the Police Department, Josh Miesemore, says that these numbers are actually no worse than last year.
I don't know that there have been any great changes in how we're patrolling, but I would suspect that they're probably along those same lines, three or four in a half-year period.
So no worse than last year. Certainly one is too many, but about the same as it has been. Lieutenant Miesemore says that the severity of the shootings in 2014 has been greater. Aside from the homicide that took place on Christopher Road on May 30th, Lieutenant Miesemore recalls the other three shootings that have taken place.
There was one on West Rosemary Street and the 300 block, one on East Franklin Street and the 100 block, which was this past week. And then a robbery on Cotton Street where a gun was fired. I think only in one of the other ones this year that someone was actually hit. But in the other two, a gun was discharged either during an argument or in the one case during a robbery.
So far this calendar year, there have been four shootings. This time last year, also four. Orange County Animal Services is reporting the 15th positive test for rabies in the county so far. That number is definitely up. WCHL's Danny Hooley has details.
The latest reported case of rabies in Orange County comes from Hillsborough, where a resident noticed that her two dogs were hovering over a certain spot in her backyard this past Monday. The subject of their interest turned out to be a bat. She brought the dogs inside the house and called animal services to have the bat removed. The bat was tested at North Carolina State Laboratory of Public Health and came up positive for rabies. Here's Orange County Animal Services Director Bob Morato.
It's the second rabies case we've had this year that does involve a bat. And bats are going to be more active in the summer months. And we know from our past experience, not only here in Orange County, but in North Carolina at large, that the number of potential rabies exposures involving bats climbs during the summer months.
11 of the other reported cases in Orange County involved raccoons, and the remaining two were a fox and a skunk, according to Morato. Reported cases of rabies have gone up since last year, when the total number was 12, the same as the year before. Fortunately, the two Hillsborough dogs that came in possible contact with the most recently reported rabid bat were up to date on their rabies vaccinations and only required booster shots within 5 days of the incident. Otherwise, the risk of rabies exposure would have made it legally mandatory for the dogs to either be destroyed or quarantined for 6 months.
for people, we want to be mindful that bats may be beneficial to our environment as insectivores and for other reasons, but they are rabies carriers, and if we have contact with a bat, we want to be absolutely positive to get medical care.
Morato adds that people who have come into contact with a bat may not even realize at first that they've been bitten because bat bites are so tiny. If you have any questions or suspected rabies cases to report, you can call Orange County Animal Services at 919-942-7387. A rabies vaccination clinic will take place from 9 a.m. until noon on Saturday at Piedmont Feed Center, located at 4805 NC Highway 54 West in Chapel Hill. The cost for vaccinations is $10. Cash only. A link to the full clinic schedule is available in this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
You may think it flamed out a few years ago, but make no mistake, Occupy Chapel Hill is still very much alive. Supporters of the movement held a general assembly last night at 6:30 in front of the old post office downtown on Franklin Street, and regular events are ongoing in Chapel Hill. Jeff Gilson, a longtime supporter of Occupy Chapel Hill, describes himself as a worker and advocate at Weaver Street Market, as well as being an aspiring pop star. He's also a blogger who posts regularly on orangepolitics.org, and you have heard him from time to time with commentaries here on WCHL. Gilson says the movement has changed quite a bit over the last 3 years, becoming more fragmented as it became clear that it's impossible to get the 99% to agree on very much of anything.
Occupy Chapel Hill did peter out. Across the country, Occupy had its moment of fury and encampments and people wanting to bring about immediate change, and that kind of petered out much as the winter of 2011 took over. Here in Chapel Hill, we sort of moved into Occupy Chapel Hill 2.0, and that has continued in two forms. There's a group called Occupy Health and Wellness, who hold regular meetings, and a group called Solidarity Economy, who wanted to map all of the sustainable economic entities in the area.
Gilson says the one thing that all the different groups associated in some way with Occupy Chapel Hill can agree on is that, quoting here, impersonal corporate capitalism has failed us, unquote, and that more community-based economic and social agendas are more desirable. Gilson suggests that instead of trying to exist as a solidified movement, Occupy Chapel Hill should become more of a clearinghouse for sharing ideas and support.
The idea I put forward is, why don't we do our own thing in our own group, where other people aren't trying to take over the agenda, and then meet on an irregular basis and use Occupy Chapel Hill as a clearinghouse for information, communication, and if we find common cause in something, then pursue that.
Occupy Chapel Hill activities continue today with a regular vigil for peace and justice with a Society of Friends in the corner of Elliott Road and East Franklin Street beginning at 4:30 in the afternoon. To view a full calendar of Occupy Chapel Hill events, you can visit OccupyChapelHill.org. Duke Energy plans to charge residential customers more in order to establish new renewable energy sources, such as solar panels, across North Carolina. Spokesperson for Duke Energy, Lisa Parrish, explains the changes and how much more customers may be paying.
Right now, the average residential customer for Duke Energy Carolina is using about 1,000 kilowatt hours of electricity, pays about 4 cents a month to comply with the new renewable energy portfolio standards. The new rider asks them to pay 39 cents, so that's an increase of 35 cents. Duke Energy Progress customers using 1,000 kilowatt hours, they're currently paying 20 cents, and that changes to 83 cents.
She says these new charges have to be made in order to comply with new North Carolina laws that dictate energy costs and where they must be placed for customers.
Think about it like this. You divide the pie, the renewable energy pie, into three pieces. The size of those pieces are dictated by the North Carolina energy law. So more than half the pie, about 59%, is paid for by residential customers, 36% is paid for by commercial customers, and about 5% is paid for by industrial customers. Each of these slices is in proportion to the cost caps set by the North Carolina energy law. The legislation tells us what we can charge these customer classes and tells us they must be in proportion to the cost.
Awaiting permission from the Utilities Commission, these new charges are set to go into effect in December of this year. WCHL News Time, 7:39. Rand Northam has joined me now in the WCHL studio. Out of the newsroom, a veritable flurry of activity back there, sort of like Yosemite Sam you see in the cartoons.
That or Tasmanian Devil, well, I guess?
Actually, Tasmanian Devil would be a better example of what you're like in the morning around here.
Yeah.
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 Hey,
terrible mood and flying all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you. That's you. No, actually, Rand's in a pretty good mood most of the time. He's a little stressed out once in a while, but other than that. Yeah, I just want you to know that I screwed up my courage last night and ventured over. We went for an adventure. Ventured over into the dark side last night to see what was going on.
And, were there any devils there?
Yeah, plenty of them. And I'm always a little hesitant when I venture into enemy territory like that. But we went over to the Washington Duke Inn last night, sampled their summer menu over there.
Yeah.
Jack Smith, who used to be at the Carolina Inn, is now over there.
Oh, yeah.
And great guy. And gosh, we had some heirloom tomatoes. Started out with some corn bisque that was amazing. And then
that sounds good.
Heirloom tomatoes and jumbo lump cheesecake crab cake.
Wow.
A Chesapeake crab cake, I'm sorry.
That's my home area.
Yeah,
that's what we were known for.
I know. I knew you'd get into that. And they had some kind of a dish, and I don't even know what it was called, but it was pork, and it was fantastic.
Okay. Nice.
And some fried blueberry hand pies.
Wow.
Woo!
Man.
So I might decide to go back over there again at some point. But it really was a beautiful, beautiful night, and it was a great, great time to do that. Did it all outside.
Yeah, that's great.
And it was fun. I just want to say that, you know, I didn't see Mike Krzyzewski or anything like that, but it was a pleasant visit.
Very nice.
Over in the dark side, I might consider venturing over there again. You know, I'm sure that some of them come over here to.
I'm sure they do
to the Carolina Blue. Area.
That's right.
Yeah. But, you know, it's all in fun. But anyway, Jack's doing great. Washington Duke was a lot of fun to be over there. And,
excellent.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I have to confess, I'm as I'm working this morning, I've got Wimbledon on in the background. I'm a tennis junkie. I'm looking for double and triple bagels all over the place.
Really?
But Patrick, or sorry, John McEnroe, man, he's looking old.
He really is.
He is really aged.
I saw him recently, and I thought the same thing.
Yeah, he's completely white on top, and like his eyebrows are real white now too. And he's just looking old in the face. And interesting, but
And he's not really all that old.
No, he can't be.
Yeah,
I'm not sure of his age, but he can't be too old.
I used to watch battles between him and Jimmy Connors.
Yeah,
which were pretty amazing.
Oh, I bet.
Throw Bjorn Borg in there, and you know it was really, really interesting.
Man.
Chris Evert was playing during that time.
I miss the Andre Agassi, Pete Sampras duels.
Yeah,
those were some of the greatest ones.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I know yesterday, I know you're a big tennis fan and everything.
Yeah,
but yesterday, a lot of people were watching World Cup.
Oh, yes.
It really
definitely.
Is amazing to see everybody getting into the World Cup,
yeah.
Even if they don't follow soccer the rest of the year.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's just watching this. I mean, so it's pretty incredible, and it's great to be able to get, you know, for us all to be unified.
Exactly.
And not talking about this silly Carolina Duke stuff and things
right,
like that.
Right, yeah.
But just, you know, pulling for the same team.
That's
it
right.
Really is kind of cool.
Yeah, and we've got a TV here in the studio that we usually keep on a news channel. We had flipped that to that, but there's really nowhere to sit in the studio here.
True.
So I pulled out my laptop and tuned into watchESPN.com online. And we were all sitting around my laptop at the little conference table right out here in the lobby of the studio, or the lobby of the station. And there were about five of us all huddled around a laptop yesterday. But it was a lot of fun. So.
I was back at my desk working, and I'd hear an outburst every now and then.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
I knew you guys were watching that. But, you know, it really is fun to do stuff like that.
It is. And, it is. And the U.S. lost, and yet it won and advanced.
Yeah. It's really a lot of us don't understand those rules, the way that works.
But, you know,
so
I understand it. I think it's just weird and funny.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, what's happening at chapelbro.com today?
Well, of course, lots of news and sports that you're hearing right now. Lots to talk about with the NBA draft and PJ Hairston going on, so you can find all those columns. Also, we've got a calendar page that tells you about all the events going on in and around Chapelbro. Hope you'll check those out as well. And the Summerfest at the Plaza, a recent great event that took place at the 140 West Plaza. We've got some great photos up on that. Susan Murray made it out to that event, and you'll want to check it out. just kind of tells about the about summer in Chapel Hill, what it all looks like.
Yeah.
Really good look there. So all of that and much more available on our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
One final thing. Did you watch any of the NBA draft last night?
I did not watch any of that.
I watched some of that late and was just watching P.J. Harrison. I was curious to see where he was going to go.
Sure.
Went number 26 overall.
That's
we got lots more on that on our website, and our Chansky has today's sports notebook about that, but ended up going to the Charlotte Hornets, which is really interesting.
I love it. I think it's great.
How Michael Jordan must have worked hard behind the scenes to kind of make that trade happen.
I'm sure.
And everything.
I'm sure.
And, you know, I don't know P.J. Harrison, but I really hope that he really learned a valuable lesson from what happened with Mary. He did some really, really dumb things when he was here. But, you know, a lot of us do stupid things
when
we're young.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's established himself as a great player.
Yeah, clearly he is very talented.
Yeah. And I think he's going to do really well in the NBA because that guy is, when he came to Carolina, I remember thinking, that guy looks like he's 45 years old.
Right, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Charlotte needs some offense, that's for sure, and that's one thing that PJ can provide.
He can put some points on the board in a hurry. So we'll be watching him very closely.
Yep, we will.
We'll check in with you in just a couple minutes and find out what's going on with traffic.
Sounds good.
Also, today's commentary is on the way from Raleigh Man.
Can you slam dunk? Do you wish you could slam dunk? I'm 6'2", and on my best day, I couldn't even come close. But if you're like most guys, yes, you wish you could slam dunk. But you're too short, not enough spring in the legs. And you just can't slam dunk. Or can you? I'm Berkeley Grimble of Grimble Jewelers. And guys, I'm here to tell you that you can slam dunk. And you don't even have to jump. You just have to come into Grimble Jewelers. We'll help you pick a gift for your lady that sparkles. Something that's gold or silver. Something that twinkles, a diamond, a ruby, a sapphire. And we put it in a little jewelry box and wrap it up just the way she likes. Then you head home. You hand that little box to her. You tell her, a little surprise, honey, just because I love you. You'll feel yourself start to lift off the ground, and when she sees what's inside, brother, that's a slam dunk of a gift, and you can't even touch rim. Grimble Jewelers, you want a slam dunk? Get in here. You're going to feel like you're 3 feet off the ground.
At Best Tile, we are a local store with a global selection. Local, as we are a family business conveniently located just down the road at the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road, where our team of in-house designers are ready to assist in finding the tile and stone that's right for you. And global, as we are one of the largest importers of tile and stone in the nation, with a focus on premier products from countries like Spain, Italy, and the U.S., where you are assured products are created responsibly. Local store, global selection, Best Tile. Stop by and see us on Garrett Road or find us online at besttile.com.
Downtown Chapel Hill begins here on the plaza at 140 West Franklin Street. Enjoy free events every Friday night from 6 to 9 at the Live and Local Music and Art Series now through June 27. Live and Local will feature world-class performances and top-notch visual and performing arts. The Live and Local Music and Art Series on the plaza at 140 West Franklin Street. Sponsored by WCHL and DSI Comedy Theater. For more info, go to 140westfranklinplaza.com.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Raleigh Mann. Last week, the Chapel Hill Planning Board unanimously approved the rezoning request of some folks who want to convert the house next door to us into a place where Muslims may gather for prayer. Betsy and I wanted to be at this meeting to support this project, which we see as an opportunity for our community to demonstrate its commitment to diversity and acceptance of all people, even those whose faith is different from ours, especially them. We rejoice that our new friends now may move forward toward realizing their dream. Their faith requires them to stop whatever they're doing for prayer 5 times every day. Think of it. This small group has worked long and hard to create this home in Chapel Hill so they won't have to travel several miles to do that. But this commentary is about something else that came up in the discussions at this planning board meeting. Why is there no traffic light at Stateside Drive and Martin Luther King Boulevard? Predictably, many will point out that there are already too many traffic lights interrupting traffic flow on this busy road that's both a state highway and an important local street. Someone in the know once told me that the State Department of Transportation would consider putting a light at Stateside Drive if we who want one would agree to raise the speed limit on MLK from 35 to 45 miles per hour. Is he kidding? Anyone driving at 35 on that road is likely to get run over by everyone else, who are all driving much faster than that. This is the same DOT that promised us a 24-foot wide median when MLK was widened to four lanes. That would have provided a safe haven at midpoint for drivers attempting to turn left on MLK, but that wide median never happened. Neither, I predict, will that traffic light, as badly as it is needed. Nearly 300 families living in the North Forest Hills area need to get onto this busy boulevard on a regular basis, and we who live near the corner will continue to hear that screech thump of those who dare to take their lives in their hands trying to turn left and join the speeding traffic. This is Raleigh Mann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What you're saying on the street, presented by ISIS IT. What you're saying on the street.
I'm Kyle Lang. The United States advanced to the elimination round of the FIFA World Cup. We hit the streets to find out how far you think the Americans will go.
Hi, I'm Anthony Bowman. I'm from Taylorsville, North Carolina. I think they're going to the finals. Yeah, I think we're going to win the World Cup. That would be awesome to see.
I'm Holden Hammondry. I'm in Chapel Hill to tour from around the area. I'm not sure how well we'll do against some of the other teams, and I don't think we'll make it to any of the semifinals, but we've already had such a good run.
My name is Jan. I lived in Chapel Hill for quite some time, and I wouldn't be surprised if we made it to the round of eight.
My name is Terrell. I live in Chapel Hill. I think the U.S. can beat pretty much any team. I think they'll go at least a couple more rounds.
How far do you think the United States will make it in the World Cup?
Coonley Henderson, stay in Harbor. And I think the U.S. can make it possibly to the next stage.
So I'm Tom. I'm visiting friends at Chapel Hill. And I think the U.S. will get to the semifinals, but they'll be knocked out there.
My name is Alec. I just graduated from UNC, and I think that we'll at least make it through to the round of 16 or 8.
My name is Joe Polich, and I live in Chapel Hill. I think we'll get through this first round, probably meet Belgium and meet a heartbreaking end there, sad to say.
I'm Thomas Eisenhardt. I live in Chapel Hill, and I think the USA is going to make it to the quarterfinals.
That's what you're saying on the street. A 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Oh, wow. Look at these pictures of mom and dad from college. Those glasses are frightening.
If you're considering LASIK surgery, check out the experienced team at the UNC Kittner Eye Center.
No kidding. Those glasses are enormous.
We offer the highest quality laser solutions and the best technology available.
Kind of makes you wonder what we'll look like when we're their age.
Call us to schedule a screening today. 30 years from now, you may very well thank us again. The UNC Kittner Eye Center. Call 919-445-2020 or visit us at unci.org.
Hello, my name is Brian Popp, owner of Landscape Logic and second generation landscaper. At Landscape Logic, we've been taking care of business for over 20 years. If your landscape has got you working overtime, we can help. Spring cleanup, weekly mowing programs, lawn care programs, irrigation startup, repair, and much, much more.
Let the pros at Landscape Logic take care of business and work overtime for you. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
All righty then, that means that it's time for traffic and weather together, and traffic starts the whole process. Here we go with Rand.
Thank you very much. We're on 15501 northbound between Raleigh Road, NC 54, and just north of the Ephesus Church Road area, seeing some minor delays right now. NC 54 eastbound and westbound between 15501 and I-40, seeing minor delays as well. And as you approach the I-40 interchange from the north heading southbound, you might see some delays on 15501 as well. Otherwise, things moving smoothly. But if you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 73 degrees right now. Mostly cloudy today, 20% chance of showers early, and then a 40% chance of showers or thunderstorms later on in the day. Our high today, about 88 degrees. And kind of a warm weekend. It's 7:54 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wayne Pond joins us now. And Wayne, do you have a good word for us today, my friend?
Oh, Big Ron, you're going to love it. You're just going to love it. The word of the day is sexennial. Sexennial. Sounds a little naughty, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I like the first part of it anyway, but I don't know what the rest of it is.
Yeah, this is the sort of thing that Aubrey used to tickle our fancies with at the outset on the so-called clean joke of the day. Her. Well, sexennial, what do you think it's all about? S-E-X-E-N-N-I-A-L. S-E-X-E-N-N-I-A-L. Sexennial.
Well, if it were sex annual, I would say having sex once a year. But since it's sex annual, I have no idea.
Did you say having sex once a year?
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's priceless. No, it has nothing to do with the definition of sexennial.
Okay.
That really doesn't have anything to do with sex either. It's all about recurrence, which is to say it happens every six, not sex, years.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking, Ron, my dull imagination compared to your the erotic landscape between your ears. I was
the quagmire.
I was thinking of, here Ron goes again and wins the disc jockey of the day of the week of the year of the month of the year of the millennium of the epic. Yet again, he's done it. DJ, what is it? You're the DJ of the minute every other minute, right?
I'll take it.
All right.
What
so every
say?
6 years. We would be happy if you won it every 6 years on a sexennial basis, but we'll leave that up to you. All right, S-E-X-E-N-N-I-A-L, an adjective recurring every 6 years, excuse me.
Sounds good to me.
All right, pal. That's, if you'll forgive the expression, the lay of the land this morning, so you you do with it what you can, okay?
Okay, Wayne, take care.
Bye.
Oh, drowning in the pond this morning at 7:56 at WCHL. That is the word of the day. If you can spell it and define it and pronounce it correctly, then you can call me sometime next hour and tell me all those things, and you can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers. That's the way it works. Word of the day always brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Real quickly here, good joke. I have a friend who told me that his wife came home yesterday and said, "Honey, the car won't start, but I know what the problem is." He asked her what it was, and she told him there was water in the carburetor. He thought for a moment, and then he said, "You know, I don't mean this to offend you, but you don't know the carburetor from the accelerator." She said, "No, there's definitely water in the carburetor." She insisted. He said, "Okay, honey, that's fine. As you know, I don't know anything about mechanics either, so let me go get my mechanic's friend, and we'll just go take a look at it. Where is it?" She said, "In the lake." I think even I could figure that one out.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Richard Tofte is an extraordinary volunteer, and he does his volunteer work through the RSVP program at the Seymour Senior Center in Chapel Hill.
It's like family here. The staff, the people at work here, we all have specific goals and are working as a team no matter what it is.
Richard Tofte is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
I work at special events for Central Orange, and at the Seymour Center I work for front desk, primetime players, special events, special projects, program advisory committee, and Toys for Tots program.
Like so many other wonderful people, Richard Tofte retired to North Carolina, and we're glad he did.
Everybody told me that the weather down here was beautiful, and I live in Person County. A friend of mine asked me if I would go down to the writers group when they were in the old Elliott Road, and I went down there, and I fell in love with what they were doing, the people that worked, volunteered. Then when they built this building here in the Seymour Center, I said, "No, this is for me. This is family."
Everybody who ever goes to the senior center loves Richard Tofte. One of the reasons is he makes them laugh.
I've always grown up with, maybe you can relate to this, burlesque comedy. And I try to make people laugh and make jokes out of things that nobody else would do. I get in trouble sometimes for that, but I like to make people laugh, entertain people, and be courteous to them.
Robin Balin overheard our conversation at the senior center and just had to jump in and sing Richard's praises. Davis.
I just want to say that he's remarkable. He's volunteered over 1,000 hours just this year alone. He steps up to the plate for anything, like anything that we ever need help with. Richard is there for us. He looks for the loners at the center, anyone who really doesn't know what they should be doing or what they want to do. And Richard takes care of them. He gets them involved with everything. He's like our ambassador. I'm the facility manager, and I've been working with Richard, and he's just wonderful.
Richard Topte is practically a walking billboard for the RSVP program and the Seymour Senior Center.
We want to bring as many people as we can, because there's a lot of people that just, when they get old, they just isolate themselves. We want to reach a lot of people in a lot of areas and see if we can get them here and keep them here.
It's a wonderful facility.
Yes, it is.
Richard Topte, today's WCATL hometown hero.
It's 8 o'clock, and thank you very much.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
American money for Syrian rebels.
Will it be enough to help topple the Assad government?
Lenders shift focus.
Taking on more high-risk customers.
Teenager held in a basement.
The door was locked from the outside.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. President Obama's asking Congress for $500 million to arm and train what are considered moderate rebel forces in Syria. These are groups opposing the Assad government in the civil war and Sunni militants who have spread their violence to Iraq. CBS News military analyst Mike Lyons.
$500 million will have a significant impact on small arms and supplies, non-lethal supplies as well, for any of the combatants on the battlefield. But it might not be enough when it comes to toppling the Assad government.
In Iraq, with the government under pressure from marauding Sunni militants, a top Shiite cleric is calling for political leaders to agree on a prime minister and other top officials before a